take a deep breath, take the higher road. That's what they always say, as if they know the way. They won't take it from me. But don't ever doubt yourself, it's life ain't just a dream. You make your own, so kick and scream. The people move alike with a never-ending force. You never had the chance, so what you waiting for? The day has come, my friend, cause this is war.
Riders are taught very little about the CDC vaccine schedule within their training. Many of them are unaware of the deficits in safety trials, vaccine ingredients, vaccine efficacy, and the long list of potential side effects. The CDC, unfortunately, is an openly captured agency. It is well known that they receive funding from pharmaceutical companies. Yet the medical field at large continues to consider the CDC as a trusted source of information. You are listening to Nurses Out Loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. I'm your host, Melissa Schreibfetter. Nurses Out Loud is here 5 days per week. Monday through Thursday, we have a different nurse host on, and on Fridays, we all come together to answer questions from our audience. Joining me today to discuss vaccine safety is Laura Minard. Laura is a registered nurse and board certified nurse coach. She is the founder of the Successful Nurse Coach and the Nurse Life Coach Academy. She is a serial entrepreneur, lover of medical freedom, and seeks to help nurses find freedom in their lives. Welcome, Laura.
Oh, thank you for having me. I love talking about all things vaccine. And anybody who asks me, I can't help. I want to talk about it.
So Laura and I connected a while back. I think we connected even before COVID, but when started to get really crazy and my blood was boiling because I was like, all of this stuff, there's so much wrong with all of these things. And listening to Laura actually helped to give me the courage to start stepping out and speaking out about a lot of these unethical things that were going on in healthcare, especially with the vaccines. So I'm so excited. I'm so glad to be here with you today. We're both just giddy about this topic because we love health freedom and we like to educate about vaccine safety. And Laura has a really unique story with vaccine injury. And I think that that would be a great starting point. Could you share with us your personal story?
Yeah. I mean, which one? But I'll give you the biggest one, the one that has helped me connect all the dots. So my background was in ICU nursing. I did a lot of neuro ICU stuff. So when my daughter was 20 months old, she something was wrong with her and she stopped being able to walk. She kept falling to one side and her right shoulder was lower. She seemed to be weak on one side. I could tell it was neurological. I was in the middle of moving. I freaked out, took her to the ER. And it would come and go. So it was like, at first they wanted to say that it was like vestibular inflammation, but she had no ear infection. Then they wanted to think that it had something to do with her leg, but it wasn't. It was neurological. And finally, we were about to get an MRI to check for a brain tumor. So that it was, as you can imagine, with a 20-month-old, when scheduling an MRI for a brain tumor was scary. And then the episodes stopped. And so because she would have had to be put under general anesthesia, we were kind of like, the treatment plan was, as long as the symptoms don't return, then if the symptoms return at all, then we're going to do an MRI for a brain scan. And I did not know what it was. And I had gone to a naturopath myself for my own health journey. And it's interesting because she asked me about vaccines in a way that no other doctor ever had. You know, she asked me like, when did your symptoms start for your fibromyalgia and your chronic fatigue? Did you have any vaccines? And I'm like, of course I did. I'm a nurse. I was probably vaccinated a million times and I definitely get my flu shot every year. And so it was the first time that there was a hole even poked into that as a potential cause for anything. I didn't think that. I thought it was water and like a little fragment of a disease that just made you healthy. So I, as a nurse, I had no idea that there was anything other than water and a little piece of some DNA of a disease that just made us healthier. So that was kind of like my first hole in it. And I had been watching a docuseries on GMOs. It was GMOs Revealed. And after I had watched that series, that same company sent me an ad for Vaccines Revealed or The Truth About Vaccines. I think it was one of those two titles. And something told me to watch it. And so I was in the bath one night watching the first episode. And immediately as I'm hearing this story, something clicked and I jumped out of the bath. I ran to my phone. I checked my daughter's vaccine records and I checked when we went to the ER and the pictures of her. And so it was immediate. I was like, it totally was a vaccine injury, but I didn't know that. And this was probably 7 months after it had happened. But there was something in my body that just knew that this was the cause because of the pictures. So every time my daughter had gotten vaccines when she had been younger, she would get a rash. Like there was a rash that she got on her face every single time. So this time that same thing happened. And I had heard other people's stories of children with encephalitis, and I knew that that's what it was. And what would happen is she'd have a fever. She just had an undulating fever for 21 days. So she was having an immune reaction to what was in that vaccine, which was the aluminum. And then when she would get the fever, her brain would swell. She'd have symptoms, and then the fever would go away, and the symptoms would go away. So it was this. We figured out that's what it was. What's interesting though about that is at that time, my sister, who is a nurse as well, lived next door, and her daughter was born 32 weeks early because she had a premature rupture of membranes after getting the flu shot. And her daughter, was due. So she was so early. So I think she was only like, 8 weeks old. She was due for her next set of shots. And I told my sister, watch this docuseries before you get that next round. I think that was divine intervention, because had she gotten that next round, my niece, I don't know that she'd still be here because she had such bad reactions to it. As nurses, we just weren't trained to look for vaccine injury.
Yeah, I wanted to start off talking about how defective our training is, because they teach us, here is the schedule. And then the medical community, we talk about this almost like it's a mantra. It's safe and effective. The science is settled. But then when you really start to dive deep into this, we don't know the safety data. And one of the things I wanted to bring up, because with so many vaccines on the schedule, you know, for an example, my parents are baby boomers. They had about 6 doses of vaccine. Right. I was born in the 80s. I had about 24. The children now had 72 doses. And then since then, they've added on the COVID vaccines and RSV, and that list continues to grow.
Right.
And another thing, I have kind of a similar story from you, where I was, as a nurse, conventionally trained nurse, I was so ignorant about vaccines. I got every single vaccine that was recommended to me to be a nurse. And then I also had a job on a military base. So I got all the military vaccines and my immune system went haywire, just very dysregulated immune response. Chronic fatigue, autoimmune conditions, allergies, all of these things that I wasn't born with. And it was a functional medicine doctor. It was the first functional medicine doctor that I saw. And she basically told me, she said, the vaccine schedule is BS. And I, being a nurse, I was like, well, they're safe and effective. The science is settled. And I almost was like, should I not go back to her? Is she a quack?
Right.
And but then it was like something inside of me, which I believe is God, you know, because
Yes, yeah.
in healthcare, we get so blinded to what our agencies are telling us and all the group think that we forget about that like intuitive feeling that we get that I so strongly believe is from God. But I had this like nagging feeling that she planted the seed, and then I had this nagging feeling
Yeah.
of maybe I should look into this. And when I started doing my own research, I was horrified. And for my son, he's 7 now, but he was fully vaxxed until 18 months because I just didn't know these safety issues. And I was very, very concerned. Just for an example, learning that the hepatitis B vaccine given to infants on the first day of life was only safety tested for 5 days
I
and
know.
contained a considerable level, a significantly higher level of the aluminum adjuvant than what is recognized by the FDA as safe. Do you have any, specific insights or tidbits about the hepatitis B vaccine?
Oh my gosh. Well, it's so funny because the first meeting I went to in the vaccine aware world, I said to the whole group, the whole room, I said, we have to talk about Hep B, because Hep B, there's, if you present it to a court, like there's nobody that would ever say that it's an appropriate medication to give to an infant on day one of life, no matter how much they weigh. So you would give it to a 3.5 pound baby or a 15 pound baby, but you're given the same dose of this aluminum adjuvant. And after I found out it had only been safety tested for 5 days, it's like, well, isn't that convenient? But also, what it does is it trains parents to treat. You're having a baby, you're a new mom and dad in the hospital, and your first experience of having agency over another human being is that you inject them to be healthy before they go home. Right? Like, if you can do that today on day one of life, they've got you. Because then it's safe and effective, right? It is, how is Hep B spread? It's either through from mom and dad, from mom, actually. It's either from mom or it's from intravenous drug use. So we know that the unborn baby hasn't been shooting up. And I asked one doctor, I said, why don't we just test mom? Because I don't shoot up and I'm in a committed marriage. So I know I don't have Hep B. And they had no answer for me. There's no answer that they can give. What is your experience on that? Because no physician can give you an actual answer of why.
It really goes back to that group think. And I feel like all of these policies and procedures, it's really taken away critical thinking. And in medicine, we are taught to use evidence-based practice. Now, and what is so sad to me is that because physicians are like authority figures, they come in with the white
Right.
coat. A lot of families are intimidated by the physician and also believe that the physician, especially a pediatrician, is the expert in your child's health, that the mother is the expert, knows what that child needs. So
Yeah.
with hepatitis B, so I did have now with my son, he was born in the hospital. And I remember the first day, I didn't even know that he had a vaccine because I had just had a baby. I had just labored for
Yeah.
like 4 hours. And then I had an emergency C-section, which that's a whole different story right there. But anyway, my body went through the ringer. And then I remember they came by to get my beautiful, perfect baby. And they were like, is it okay if he gets all the newborn stuff? Yeah. So, yeah, I had no sleep. I just had a C-section. I had all these drugs in my body. I was like, sure, but which again, at
Right.
that time, I was ignorant to this. I didn't know that there were safety concerns. I thought the science was settled, but he did have that hepatitis B injection the first day of life. And, we know with any medical intervention, it's always risk versus benefit. And I happen to have this handy dandy hepatitis B vaccine insert with me, which, by the way, when providers, they usually are like, here's the hepatitis B vaccine, and they give you like a one sheet of paper that's like a little infograph that has very, very basic information on it. And with hepatitis B, what I think is interesting is that they're giving it on day one of birth. And then in the trials, they were just safety tested for 5 days. Now, an infant, we don't know what the baseline is for that infant. They were just born. So what if they receive the hepatitis B vaccine and then they end up having tummy issues and they're colicky and they're irritable, they're getting ear infections. A lot of times the medical providers are not tying that back to the hepatitis B vaccine because they believe it's safe and effective. And this happens over and over and over where individuals are experiencing clear signs and symptoms of vaccine injury, but the medical community is so ignorant. And with the package insert, I'm going to put this with a link in the show notes because I think it is so important that we all learn how to read FDA inserts for medications and vaccinations. But they have a list of side effects that were observed in the clinical trials. But keep in mind, they just watched these, they just observed for 5 days. And we want to look at longer than that so we could get a better idea of the safety profile. But in the known reactions from the safety trial, they're mentioning things like vertigo, dizziness, hives, insomnia, disturbed sleep, earache, hypotension, which that's for when our blood pressure gets too low. But then the post-marketing experience, there's a whole nother list down here. Now, of course, on the post-marketing experience, they are listing basically, we can't confirm or deny. This is just what people were reporting post-hepatitis B vaccine. But again, if it's on the insert, this is not just big pharma having fun with their insert. They have it listed here because they have to have it listed, but this is where it gets really scary. And again, I can't even list all of these on here. There's so many things, but elevation of liver enzymes, Guillain-Barré syndrome, multiple sclerosis, exacerbation of multiple sclerosis, transverse myelitis, seizure, febrile seizure, peripheral neuropathy, Bell's palsy, Stevens-Johnson syndrome, eczema, arthritis, irritability, agitation, visual disturbances, tachycardia when your heart rate gets too high. Yeah. So, and again, back to informed consent, when you have your perfect little infant and the doctor comes in and says, we recommend a hepatitis B vaccine for you, they're not telling you all of this. And honestly, I will say in the medical community, I really feel like a lot, they don't think about what they're doing. And I think a lot of them really believe that things like hepatitis B and giving your child 72 plus vaccines is going to make them healthy.
It's so true. I have a really great example of this, of a conversation I had with a pediatrician later on. And this was a pediatrician that I had been taking my daughter Adeline to. And at that time, she was 3.5. So she hadn't had any vaccines for about 1.5 years. This was Kaiser. And I forget which book I had brought in with me in my hand. But I had this conversation with him. He's like, are we going to get vaccines today? And I'm like, no, we're not going to get vaccines today because she had a bad reaction to this. And I said, actually, I have some questions for you because I have some concerns. And I kind of asked, I acted like I was on the fence. I wanted to see what his, if as a parent that's concerned about the safety of vaccines, I wanted to see how he was going to try to sell me on why this was really, really good. And I said, well, I'm concerned about the aluminum adjuvants. I'm concerned about that crossing the blood-brain barrier. I'm concerned about it being too much. It's more than the FDA recommends. And he said, well, there's aluminum in everything. And so you're eating, if your child's probably eating more aluminum. And I go, oh, so for aluminum route doesn't matter. So oral versus IM or intravenous, it doesn't matter. And he knew at that point, like he was stepping into a place where he was uncomfortable. And I said, I brought this book after reading this book. This is actually the book that made me concerned because it has so many scientific studies in it. So can I leave it with you? You're my pediatrician. Could you take a look at it and tell me what's incorrect in it? And he wouldn't even touch it. He said, no. He's like, I just follow the CDC. There's a lot of people that are smarter than me and I just follow their recommendations. So your doctor feels unsafe to have his own opinion or her own opinion. Everybody defers to authority. The authority is captured. Who's left to like be in between you and the patient getting something that could harm them forever or kill them.
You know, and what is so shocking to me is the CDC is openly captured. We see that the CDC has, they do the bidding of the pharmaceutical companies, and then they get these amazing jobs on the boards of the pharmaceutical companies. And then they also receive a lot of funding from the vaccine manufacturers. So it is just, I just cannot believe that there are so many, that the majority of pediatricians in our country are still advocating for the use of this schedule. And another interesting point that I was unaware of until a few years ago is the incentives from the insurance companies.
Yeah.
If you know me, I like to give the insurance companies nicknames. I call them Big Pharma's ugly cousin, because we know that those two, they work together, you know? So, and I'm not saying that every pediatrician in our country is participating in this. However, when they have a certain percentage of their patient population fully vaccinated, they are able to get bonuses, which end up being approximately around $600 per fully vaccinated child. But if you don't have a certain percentage vaccinated in your office, you lose all of that. And parents are unaware of these financial incentives. So a lot of these pediatrician offices, they are dependent on you keeping your child on schedule for them to basically, you know, pay the bills and keep their office running. And I do have a couple of studies I wanted to bring up real quick, because, you know, I'm a nerd and this is what I do. So when we talk about aluminum adjuvants, and I've also heard that, Laura, where these pediatricians are saying, well, you know, it's no different from what you're getting in food every day. And that's totally incorrect.
Yes,
so,
right.
Now, I want to mention here that there was association between aluminum exposure from vaccines before age 24 months and persistent asthma at age 24 to 59 months. And the author of that study was Matthew F. Daley, D-A-L-E-Y. I have another one over here. It gets really scary when we start talking about the prevalence of aluminum in the brain in autistic children.
Right.
High levels of aluminum in brain tissue and autism. And that was the lead author was Matthew Mold on this one. There's so much evidence. And also per the FDA recommendations, now, they have determined the safety level of aluminum per day for, say, about an 8-pound infant. That would be about 18 micrograms per day based on what the FDA deems safe. Hepatitis B vaccines, the aluminum adjuvant in there can be as high as 250 micrograms. Have you heard about that, Laura?
Yeah. So 250 micrograms, which is, about 10 times. The daily dose being given intravenously into an infant. And if they have specific genetic variants, their body never gets excreted. It never comes out. It's not like it goes through your digestion and you poop it or pee it out. It goes into your bloodstream and it gets lodged in tissues. And then those tissues become inflamed, which is what happened to my daughter. People don't excrete it. And there's so many studies that show that human beings don't excrete this. It does not come back out. It is it's in your body forever.
So an aluminum adjuvant is used in vaccines because it is stimulating to get that immune response.
Right.
So, but also, you know, when we take away things like manufacturer liability, then what does that do to quality control? And I always wonder, I'm like, that is a lot of aluminum. And this is one of the reasons why I think that we all need to be talking about it. And, you know, when you have family members that they're like, no, that's all anti-vax propaganda. What I like to use to educate is actually showing people the vaccine ingredients from the government website, showing these studies, like the study I just mentioned from about the asthma association with aluminum adjuvant. That is a government study, you know? So, and then even the inserts from the pharmaceutical companies, showing them what the adverse reactions really are in the post-marketing surveillance. Those things can be really beneficial. And I'll be posting those in the show notes. That way you guys have a reference. But I really do think, and this is one of the reasons why I wanted to create Functional Nurse Academy, was I was just getting so disappointed that we have so much great holistic education out there and things like that. And I've gone to so many webinars and talks and things like that, where they talk about toxicity and they'll tell you to filter your water and, you know, clean up your household products. But people are just too scared to talk about our exposure from vaccination.
Yeah.
So Laura, what is your impression of that? Like, I have, because I know we're both holistic nurses, and mm-hmm. I don't want to name any specific organizations or associations, but I was just so disappointed to see some alternative associations still just follow the CDC, just like our standard healthcare system is still just following the CDC, even though they have been dishonest many times.
Because it's dangerous if you question it publicly. When I shared my daughter's story, I had nurses in my inbox saying they were going to report me to my board of nursing to try to take away my license. So I was threatened by sharing a true story of my own daughter with all the proof in the world of this actually happened to my family. By the way, I wouldn't talk about vaccines if it didn't happen to my family. Like, it's not, you don't just wake up one day like, I want to talk about the most controversial topic on the planet publicly and be threatened for it. Like, you have to ask yourself why somebody would ever even want to do that. And I think a lot of it has to do with fear. And the pharmaceutical companies are a multi-billion dollar industry with multi-million dollar PR firms ready and at the waiting to cancel you in every way possible, if especially if you're a large organization. So I think it's fear. I think a lot of them know it because behind closed doors, they all talk about it, but publicly they won't because they're going to be canceled. And I actually don't know how a nurse who took the Nightingale pledge cannot talk about it if you knew. It's like the most unethical thing. Like, who else? We literally pledged to not knowingly give anything that could harm. And then you find out it can harm and you're afraid of what? Money? Losing money?
So true. Yeah. We should never care more about our license than human health and a human life. So we're going to go ahead and pause for break for just a moment. Thanks for tuning in to Nurses Out Loud. At Nurses Out Loud, we are here every week, Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have a different nurse host each day, Monday through Thursday. And on Friday, we all get together to answer questions from our audience. Please go to our show page on Nurses Out Loud and submit your questions. We would love to hear from you.
It's time and this is world.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/outloud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Joint Health and Mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
You wouldn't go a day without brushing your teeth or washing your hands. What about washing your nose? I mean, your nose does filter the air you breathe, air loaded with bacteria, viruses, and irritants. Make nasal hygiene part of your routine with Clear. No messy bottles to fill, no drowning sensation. Clear is a natural drug-free saline with the added benefit of xylitol, which blocks bacterial and viral adhesion. Available in stores and online at clear.com. That is X-L-E-A-R.com.
You already know Genesis plus HOCL is your best defense against viruses. But did you also know it's the most powerful weapon for eliminating airborne mold, too? Customers are raving about the Genesis Fogger's ability to tackle mold problems and the bad smells that go with them. And we all know mold is a hazard to your health. There's no airborne invader that Genesis can't handle. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
Welcome back to Nurses Out Loud. This is your host, Melissa Schreibvetter, and I am here with my friend, Laura Minard, who is a fellow registered nurse, board certified nurse coach, and entrepreneur. And today we are discussing vaccine safety. So we just were touching on the cancellation of nurses when or organizations when we speak out about these really important safety topics. And Laura, you had a really good point about our nursing pledge about, you know, when you know that there are these safety issues, but then you choose not to say anything. And I think that this is one of the reasons why so many are in denial. They, like a lot of the, you know, pediatricians, I think that deep down they know something is not right, but they tend to only follow guidance from the CDC and not look at anything else, because, you know, once you go down that rabbit hole, there's really no going back. But I also wonder with, okay, seasoned pediatricians. I was born in the 80s. When I was growing up, I did not know of anyone who had autism. I didn't know of, we all ate everything. We ate peanut butter. I think I knew of one kid growing up that had allergies. And now we have seen skyrocketing in chronic illness. And there's plenty of evidence out there that when we are overstimulating the immune system, when we are injecting all of these different adjuvants and these vaccines, which, by the way, the vast majority of them are not placebo safety tested, that there can be adverse health outcomes to this. And so are you seeing this as well? I know that you mentioned that you recently had to move from California to the free and wonderful state of Tennessee. I live in Tennessee too, and it's amazing. But yeah. I know that things in California were getting really scary with the loss of medical freedom out there. Can you tell me a little bit about what was going on and why you moved?
Yeah. So when I realized my daughter had this injury, we had already, our state already had gotten rid of all exemptions. So the only way for her to ever go to school in California was to get a medical exemption. And there were very few doctors offering that. Obviously, we know why now, why many few doctors would be offering that, because it would cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars. They had unvaccinated families in their practice. So they just had a policy to not allow vaccinate. They just didn't have unvaccinated in their practices. So we found one and got a, it was a thorough health history. She agreed. She said, because of my daughter's genetics, that my son shouldn't get any. And I had a vaccine injury as well. So it was like, your family doesn't do well with this. Let's just say for your two kids, here's a medical exemption, no more vaccines for either of them. And then the government, it was SB 277. And that got rid of the medical exemption, and my medical exemption was canceled. So, I know we called 850 pediatricians, and the woman who did this in a medical freedom mom who did this, she said, I'm moving from this state to this state. I have a medical exemption. My son had an extended seizure from his vaccines and I can't give him to anymore. She called 850 pediatricians in California and they said, we don't give those here because you'll be penalized in the state of California or be looked into if you offer them. So it doesn't matter what happens to you. If my daughter had died, my son couldn't have got a medical exemption.
That is, well, there's so many unbelievable things coming out of the beautiful state of California. But I remember, right. I believe that was a bill put forth from, was it Senator Pan, Laura?
Senator Richard Pan. Yep. I was at that hearing and I spoke live at that hearing.
Oh, good for you. I think it's I think it's so wonderful when nurses speak out about these things, because I remember when I learned about these safety issues, it was like a fire on the inside.
Yeah.
And it's honestly, I'm to the point where if I go to any, you know, mommy and me play date or whatever with other moms, it, you know, it's like, I can't like not talk about this with everyone, because you just, and, you know, I feel like even if they get mad, I'm like, who cares? Because at the end of the day, I know I'm telling the truth. And if I prevent one injury from happening, then I've made an impact. Now, especially when we are talking about vaccines, like, you know, picking on hepatitis B, on the insert, it says it may not even protect you from Hep B. And they're really, when you're looking at this infant, who the mom does not have Hep B. And by the way, Hep B, it's less than 1% of moms that have this. As a nurse, I've really only seen Hep B in IV drug users and prostitutes.
Right.
So, you know, it's really silly to even think that like this newborn infant needs this. But this chronic health crisis that we're having in our country, and I just wonder about these family members where the... I wonder about these family members where the children were really, really healthy. And then as time goes on, they develop neurological disorders, behavioral issues, allergies, autoimmune conditions. And then the pediatricians just keep giving them that vaccine schedule. What do you think is happening with these seasoned pediatricians that maybe were practicing in the 80s or 90s, and they're seeing that, wow, why are so many of these kids sick? How do we have an autism rate of 1 in 36? Have you heard any insights from pediatricians, either ones that are like pro-vaccine or are against the schedule, on why they think that this is occurring?
Well, I think it's human psychology, and I forget the quote, but I do know that when you are confronted with information that if you took into your worldview, if it changed your belief about something, would affect the way that you feed your family and how you earn a living, there's a cognitive bias there. Like, this is just natural, like, human behavior. And so I don't think there's a lot of bad pediatricians out there. I think there's a lot of pediatricians out there that when given the choice, whether to deeply look into this or not to look into this, that it's a little bit easier just to believe the CDC, because that's a beautiful story to believe, that people that are smarter than them are watching over their patients. And they don't have the time. And if they did look into it, in fact, that pediatrician where I tried to hand him the book, when he didn't decline, I said, you know what? I forgive you. Because if you opened this book and you read it, it would change everything in your life and how you make your money. And so I can understand how heroic you'd need to be to actually look at this information in this book.
Yeah. And it's really human nature to go and do whatever is easier. But when you look at history, where would we be right now if everyone just decided to take the easy path? You know, I mean, when we've had these amazing victories in our history and these wonderful things that happened, it's because people stepped out and took a risk. And I remember when I became awake to all of these safety issues, I sat down and I talked to my husband about it, because I was like, it's not right with my soul to know this information and not speak out. And I I worked so hard for my license, but that piece of paper is not going to get in the way from me doing the right thing in this world. And for me, I'm a Christian, and I really believe that we are here to shine light in the world and to carry out God's will. And I felt like if I didn't say anything, if I'm just silent about it, I feel like silence is compliance. And I also think, you know, when you are licensed, it is scary. It was scary for me at first, but then it gets easier because I am really confident that I'm speaking truth and I'm helping other people. But I always tell nurses, I'm like, you know, when you educate about vaccines, we're all about patient choice, informed consent. Give your clients the link to where they can view the vaccine ingredients, give them the links to the inserts and other reading material. That way they can make that decision. But when I first started and I was just sharing studies, I was sharing even studies from government websites. And just from that, I had people threatening to report me to the board, because even though I was sharing published studies, they were saying that I was causing vaccine hesitancy, which is the first time I had ever heard that showing, you know, FDA package inserts, that could be an offense that I could be reported for, which luckily I have not heard from my board, but people can get really nasty about it. And I even received horrible Facebook messages from, you know, people that I went to nursing school with, calling me every name in the book because I was questioning safety and efficacy of the CDC vaccine schedule. And it sounds like you experience the same thing. And I know we have a lot of nurse listeners that believe that they're really on our side with it. They're savvy about the vaccine safety science, but they're just scared to speak up and say anything because they don't want to be ostracized. So what type of advice do you have for them?
I can say that the biggest blessing of my life was my daughter's vaccine injury. She's also, by the way, okay now. We've done a lot of things to recover her health and she seems to be okay. But when I made a decision to speak publicly about what happened to my family and I faced all the ridicule, and this is the hottest topic, this was before COVID, I just stopped caring about what other people thought, and it made me infinitely more powerful in everything that I do. And there is no room of doctors that I couldn't walk into right now and share my truth, and my heart rate wouldn't even go up. And so you can live your life like in hiding. You can live your life the easy way, or you can step into your actual power, and it carries over to every other area of your life. Like, my life is extraordinary. I'm so grateful for that. That gave me an opportunity to overcome that. And if, like, I was like you, there was nothing inside of me that could ever have prevented me from being honest about my experience. And here's the thing. I also don't judge anyone who decides to vaccinate their children, because I truly believe that that God gives you if God's telling you to vaccinate your children, who am I to tell you that you shouldn't or judge you if you do? But it's that more that choice. It's like what actual informed consent is. So if you're a nurse listening to this and I've coached so many nurses around this, you're going to lose family and you're going to lose friends and you're going to gain friends and you're going to gain personal power that you can't get any other way. And I've never had somebody come out publicly and regret it ever.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say I used to struggle with this whole caring about what people thought of me. That is totally out the window now. And I say all the time, I'm like, you know what? Like, I really don't care if other people don't like me, because at the end of the day, if I know that I am doing the right thing and I'm good with God, then that's what I care about. I care about having that connection with Him and doing right and loving other people. And we can still love people that think differently than how we do, you know? And I really think that by, you know, coming together and also providing education, I think that we do this in a way that is lovingly and kind. And I think all of this division and all of this name calling, especially with things like anti-vaxxer, you know, it is just so, they actually changed the Webster definition of an anti-vaxxer to say that it is anyone who questions vaccine safety or does not agree with mandates. And I'm like, okay, well, you just lumped like most of like the US population in with that, because even some long-term, very pro-vax pharma physicians, some of them were even like, well, maybe we shouldn't mandate that for babies. So, And again, like, you know, when we care about what other people think of us, and this is something that I can't remember which verse it is in the Bible, but it says that you don't fear man, you need to fear God. You know, when we fear what other people think of us, and that's what gets us into trouble. And then when you're not doing the right thing, like that's not good for your soul. And I will say, from when I've spoken out, it was really hard at first, but I had to walk through it. And now I cannot imagine how I would feel every day if I didn't speak the truth about this. And yes, I did lose some friends, but I don't really feel like I lost any meaningful relationships, because the way I look at it is I'm like, well, I don't think those people were really my friends. And yes, mm-hmm. of course I have family members that may think I'm this crazy, crunchy nurse, but who like in the history of the world believes and gets along 100% with all of their family members? And then also, you know, speaking out about these things, there's a community of us that are like-minded and feel like there are so many purposeful things that we can do to really help our communities with this type of information. And I did also want to touch base on a couple of, well, I don't want to say talking points. I guess a couple of like facts for our listeners that, you know, they maybe just don't feel confident having these conversations, or say that you are going to go to your child's pediatrician visit and then you feel intimidated by the provider that's recommending all of these things for you. Do you have any recommendations for them for specific talking points that they could reference at those doctor visits or when talking to family members?
I think it's so nuanced. It depends. But when I first woke up to vaccine, the danger of vaccines, the way I went about it was not helpful, because I was trying to fire hose it and I'll sound the alarm. And I came up against everybody's own beliefs, and I was frantic and I was anxious and I was forceful. And so that's not helpful. Like, that way is not helpful. Like, think attraction rather than promotion. And so it's the smallest facts that are that really hit home. And it can be something as silly as, did you know that if you took a vaccine and there was something wrong with it and you died, that you can't, There's nobody you can sue. They can't, but every other drug on the market they can. And every drug manufacturer has paid over $2 billion in criminal negligence on lying to the consumer about the safety profile of drugs. Like RFK said, you know, it's so funny because we treat the pharmaceutical companies like the criminals that they are with everything else. But when it comes to vaccines, suddenly they have found Jesus. Just that, right? Like, I think that's really important. I think that the act of 1986, where that happened, where you can't sue, and you have to ask yourself, why did that law even have to happen? Because there were so many parents all saying the same thing and winning lawsuits. That's why. So I think that's my number one starting point. And then just casually, like, I received 16. If Addy and AJ were on the schedule, they would receive like 80 something before they're 18. Because I think a lot of adults just don't realize that. You don't know that unless you're taking kids to new, by the way, well, baby visits is the way that pediatricians make money. And there's so many studies that show that unvaccinated just don't go to the doctor. We just don't get sick. We just don't have to go to the doctor very often. So yeah, I think that can be really, really helpful. I think not being anti anything, being pro freedom, pro truth, pro health, pro love, like has a different frequency than fear. And just really like trying to be in that when you're talking about this topic with people and meeting them where they're at.
Yes, I love that. And I think that's the way to go, because if people think that we're judging them or we get emotional about it, then it's not going to be receptive. But I also like to start with, do you know that the majority of these shots in the CDC schedule were not placebo safety tested? They actually are using other vaccines that weren't placebo safety tested, or the vaccine adjuvants, and they're calling it a vaccine. And the liability being excused from liability from the 1986 Act, why would that have to happen if they were so safe that there were hardly any injuries? So I think it's, you know, planting those little seeds, because if we go out full force with like all of this information that we're talking about today, most people are going to get much more, they're going to get really overwhelmed by it, and it's just going to be too much. And something else that I found really insightful when I was first learning about these things, because again, like, I was a conventionally trained nurse, I was administering vaccines to people. I had all the vaccines that were recommended to me. And it's a really hard pill to swallow that you may have been injecting yourself with products that weren't properly safety tested, especially when you've developed health conditions after having those shots. But another thing that I think is important is just looking at, like how you mentioned, looking at how the vaccine schedule has changed over the years. Because with my first child, I didn't understand why people were doing research with vaccines, because I really believed that the schedule that he was getting was the same schedule that I had and the same schedule that my parents had. And it is so, so different. So I think that those are really good starting points. And then I also will be listing links for you all in the show notes. So I'm going to list a link that goes directly to the CDC, where you guys can share that with friends and family. That way they can go and look up the ingredients in the vaccines that are being recommended to them. I'm also going to link some of the studies that we discussed here. So I think that's going to be very valuable information. I think it's important that we have sources. And we have a few more minutes, but I would love to hear about what you are doing in the nurse entrepreneur world. Can you tell me a little bit about your business endeavors?
Oh, yeah. So when I left conventional medicine, I did a coach training program, started my own practice, mostly with health coaching, and it was really successful. I was really grateful. And a lot of other nurses were like, how did you do it? How did you do that? How are you making money? How are you able to quit your job? That kind of thing. And so 5 years ago, I started a small consulting company to help other nurses do what I did. And now it's grown to the largest in the country, with our clients have made over $4 million in selling coaching. And the newest venture is a life coaching certification that I think can be really, really helpful, even with advocacy, is just understanding the brain and the human experience and psychology and just really understanding what it is to be human. So we'll be launching that for nurses if they want to ever sit for their board certification.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, I'm so happy for all of the great work that you're doing, because there's a lot of us nurses in the country, you know, and I really feel like we get it, you know, and we've been the most trusted profession for so many years. And I think that, like, you know, I'm also really passionate about getting nurses the resources and tools necessary to get them set up in their own private practices, because we can make like a massive impact. And, you know, our country's so sick, and we've got to get to work on these, helping people change these behavioral patterns. So many people are addicted to this like packaged and processed food and are just stuck in these upregulated stress responses. Yeah. So there's just so much that we can do. And I'm just so happy to have another, you know, advocate here for health freedom in this nursing space. And I think that we are just going to grow in this area. There's so many great things that we can be involved with. So thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to Nurses Out Loud. We are here 5 days per week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have so much information and insight to share with you, and we are blessed with the opportunity to share the truth on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for Nurse Kimberly. She has an amazing show lined up for you. All of our shows go to podcast typically a day or two after the broadcast is heard on talk radio. You can hear them on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, iHeart Podcast, and many more. Be sure to subscribe and rate the show on us for Apple Podcast. Thank you.
It's time and then-